Welcome to the I Am Jen Wilson, the Healing Rebel podcast. Welcome to today's episode. So I wanted to talk today about exercising through your menstrual cycle, through perimenopause, the menopause, postmenopausal, and also if you're living with a chronic health condition. Feels like there's a lot of different topics there when it comes to exercise, but actually everything's very similar. The difference for women, if you are on oral hormones, so whether that's oral contraception, or in fact even if you've got the coil fitted, if you've got the merino coil fitted, because that gives you artificial hormones, that gives you like an artificial cycle as well. If you're on HRT, hormone replacement therapy for going through perimenopause, menopause, the variations in your cycle might not be as obvious. Now, I can only speak from personal experience of having been on the combined pill for 21 years. I went on it when I was about 17, 16 or 17, and came off it when I was 38, not long after I got diagnosed with Crohn's. I went on it initially so that I could control when I had my period. So I didn't have my period on weekends. I didn't have my period when I went on holiday, and I really liked the control that that gave me. And then sometimes we just take packets of the pill month to month, back to back, so that I didn't have a bleed at all for a few months. And I did these things without anybody ever having a proper conversation with me about what it was that I was doing and what the implications of being on the pill would be. Now, I've had a couple of guests on already, and I've got another guest coming up that we have talked about the female hormone cycle, we've talked about periods, we've talked about the pill, and I've shared my experience about having been on the pill and feeling really numb, but not knowing that I felt numb. I thought that that was just my personality, that's who I was. And it wasn't until I came off the pill and started experiencing the ebbs and flows of the cycle that I realised that I had a cycle, and it hadn't dawned on me before that I hadn't had a cycle. Because those bleeds that you have when you're on contraception aren't your periods, they are breakthrough bleeds that happen because your body knows that it's not pregnant and it's having a bleed and a clear out. Now, one of the major things that I didn't realise in this time, as well as being the fact that I was numb, was that I wasn't having a cycle that I could honour. And what I mean by that is I studied sport and exercise science, and we talked about how to train somebody, how to periodically over a period of time you increase either the weights, the number of repetitions, the intensity of the exercise. We never spoke about the hormonal cycle of a female and how that would be impacted. We never talked about the fact that at different times in a woman's cycle, they should back off their training, and at other times when they feel super powerful and super strong, that they can go heavier or harder with their training. This was never discussed. And it's only now in 2023 just starting to be explored within sports and athletics where women participate. My partner works for one of the football clubs, and was speaking to the sports scientist team, and they're just kind of finishing off and starting to look at the results of their research, having tracked the women's football team and their cycle and the athlete's training profile and how they should build that into their programming and into the scheduling for their matches. Really interesting. Delighted that it's now happening. But we very much live in a man's world. We work Monday to Friday. Well, depending on what industry you work in, and whether you're self-employed or employed and full-time or part-time. But let's just see, for talking sake, the society is built up that you work 5 days a week from 9 o'clock in the morning to 5 o'clock in the afternoon, roughly. That's very much suitable for a man's cycle. It's not suitable for a female cycle. At different points within the month, and also in your lifetime, so depending on what age you are, you have these ebbs and flows where your brain, for us ladies, your brain is working in a particular way at a particular time. So there'll be a certain point in your month where you're really fiery and you could fight with anybody. That's a really good time for you to be negotiating contracts, asking for what you want, taking charge of meetings. There will be times in the month where you are really decisive and you know exactly what it is that you're doing. Those are great times to be productive and to get things done. And then there'll be times in the month where your brain is like mush and you can hardly string a sentence together. And that's where the I'm going to sneeze, hold on. Nope, I've lost it. That's where you want to do the mundane tasks, maybe not have meetings that you have to chair or make decisions at if you maybe need a bit longer to mull things over. Those same phases are going to replicate in the physical elements of your body. So there are times of the month where you are exhausted and going into the gym and lifting heavy weights is not the thing for you to be doing. Going out and running a marathon is not the thing to be doing in that period of time. Then there will be times where you feel like you can take on the world. That's when you get into the gym. That's when you lift heavy. That's when you maybe even increase weights. And then there are the times where you're not really sure. So what will you do? You'll go in, you'll keep the weights a bit lighter, you'll go a bit slower, you'll be a bit more gentle, you'll still do work. All of this, and I talk about this all the time, comes down to you listening to your body and honouring your body. Now, when you go through perimenopause into menopause, that might change because the hormones are all over the place. You might have one day where you feel like you can take on the world, and the next day you feel like you can't get out of bed. You need to listen to your body, you need to honour that. The conflict comes when you're on hormonal tablets, whether it's for contraception or hormone replacement therapy, where things are very plateaued. You're maybe more numb, you're maybe more in this, you feel like you're in the centre line all the time. Still, you need to tune into your body because there will still be days where you feel like you can go, and there are days that you need to pull back, and you still need to honor that. Need to go forward, need to come back, need to go forward, need to come back. When you're living with chronic illness or chronic illnesses, exactly the same thing is coming into play. You will have days where you feel strong and you can do things, and you will have days where you feel fatigued and you need to lie down and rest. Comes back to exactly the same thing. You need to honour that. You need to be grateful for that. Be grateful for the good days, be grateful for the restful days. For those of us living with chronic health issues, and I've spoken about this before as well, track everything. So track where you are within your cycle, track what day you're on, with day number one being the first day of your bleeds. Right between day 13 and 15 is around ovulation. Track so what date it is today, what day of your cycle you're on, your bowel movements, how often you're having bowel movements, what consistency, what texture, etc. What quality do those bowel movements have? Are there any other symptoms presenting? How has your sleep been? How is your mood? How is your energy? What are you eating that day? And any other activities that you've done so you can track whether you've been in the gym, whether you've been at yoga, whether you've had a rest day, whatever, all of these things can be tracked. If you want, I have a PDF that you can download to get that tracker. I offer that just I'll put the link in the show notes so you can download that tracker. Don't even need to give me your email for it. You can just take it for free. I print it off and have it with a magnet on my fridge, and I just fill it in every day as I go. From that, and this is really useful to do whether you've got a chronic illness or not, track your cycle, track your energy, track your mood, track your sleep, and see if things are falling into a pattern. Very often they are, and especially for those of us with chronic health conditions, symptoms can be influenced by hormone fluctuation. About such valuable information. Once you've got a couple of months worth of information, you can then start to track and plan out your day, because things will become not always predictable, but a little bit more predictable. So you can see there'll be certain days of the month that your sleep is much better than it is on other days. You will see that your energy is better on some days than it is on other days. So you can then start to plan out how it is that you're going to train. And I think for me, getting rid of the, I'm going to do 3 sets of 10 reps at this weight and break that down into loads of different exercises. I've been to that. I have a few core exercises that I like to do, and I 100% go with how I feel on the day. When I start the first rep, when I do that very first movement, I'm checking in. Are my muscles engaging? How does this feel? Is there any niggles anywhere? What's going on in my body? Move through a couple of reps, see if that changes things, see how that feels. I don't even count reps. I just work with keep going until it feels like I need to stop or want to stop. Sometimes just pushing that extra one out is the wrong thing to do for your body. So be really aware. We can get strong without the go, 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 super hard, go fast, go hard, go home. You can sleep when you're dead, you can rest when you're dead. That bullshit macho attitudes. Yeah, you don't need that for when you're doing your exercises. Now, why is it important to do your exercises, especially for those of us with chronic health issues? Each time you have a flare, your body gets depleted. When you start to recover from that flare, if you are not working on rebuilding the strength that you lost, rebuilding the nutrients and the nourishment and the resilience that you had before the flare, then the next flare you have is going to be worse than the one that you just had. And I can speak from experience with this. So I had my very first flare with Crohn's in, when did I get diagnosed? 2017. And I recovered from that flare fairly quickly. And I was back in the gym maybe within 6 months of that initial flare. And then I had the second flare, and it did last longer. But after that flare, I didn't go back to the gym. And then when I had that third flare, it lasted 3 times longer than the first one. I was 18 months before I started thinking, yeah, okay, I'm starting to feel well. And when I say well, I didn't mean good. I mean, I didn't feel like I wanted to die because I was so exhausted. And this time, I have made the conscious decision to go back to the gym and to start really slowly practicing what I preach. Going really slowly, listening to my body, working the muscles. but not trying to push to that point of exhaustion, not trying to push to that point of fatigue, because I want to re-stimulate the muscles without upsetting my nervous system. Because the nervous system definitely feels hypersensitive. The slightest wee thing can make me feel way more anxious. I never used to, and I've spoken about this before, never really used to feel anxiety. I would be like, yeah, I feel nervous about this or whatever, let's go. And now I'm like shaking and my stomach's churning. And sometimes, even when the event has passed, for a couple of hours later, my heart's still pounding and I'm still feeling really shaky and feeling off kilter for things that don't need that level of fear to have come up. And it is, for me, it's a very much a physiological response. It's not a mental chatter. And I was speaking to a friend the other day who wants me to come and do fitness for a group of people with chronic health conditions. And I said to him, it's really important for us to build resilience, because an athlete builds strength and resilience for an event. They don't go and run a marathon just getting up one day and thinking, I'll go and run a marathon. If you haven't done any exercise and you get up and you go and try and run 5K, tell me how you feel after it. If you've never run 5K before, tell me how you feel for the week after it. If you train for that event, then you'll be able to go and do that event and recover from it really quickly. Or you might recover so fast that you didn't even notice that you recovered. And what I want to be able to help people do is when they go into a when they go into a flare, the when and if you go into a flare, can we get your body before you get there as strong as possible so that you recover better, you recover faster? When I went into my very first flare, I was very strong physically. I was very fit. When I went into that third flare, I wasn't, because I hadn't done the work in the in-between section. I had been doing the bare minimum for a multitude of reasons, and 2020 is one of those reasons. You know, nobody got to go to the gym in 2020 or 2021. But when I then had that flare in 2021, hell on earth is what I would say. So yeah, it is really important. And if you don't know what it is that you're doing in the gym, it's vital that you find a coach, find a trainer that can work with you, but will listen to what you are going through, what you are experiencing, and help you navigate this in a way that's really beneficial for you, beneficial for your nervous system, first of all, and then beneficial for the strength of your muscles without annihilating yourself. I know if I push myself too hard, too fast, I am fatigued for days and days afterwards. I did learn that through trial and error, obviously. Because that's the kind of thing I do. But it needs to be, you need to be really careful if you're selecting a personal trainer or a coach to work with, that they listen to you and they understand what it is that you are going through and have compassion for that, and don't think that they know better because they've read in a book somewhere. Like, find, if you can find somebody who has what you have, they are like gold dust. They are absolute legends, because not only do they know what it, they don't know your how it feels in your body, but they have a basic understanding of what it's like to experience what it is you're experiencing. So I'm really excited about the opportunity that I've got coming up to be working with IBD patients, fellow cronies, fellow IBD experiencers. I'm also going to be doing some work with neurodivergent communities, which I'm excited about as well. And I've previously done work with the AMS Society, which has been so rewarding, so lovely. The other day, I delivered a session to Network Rail for their Menopause Awareness Month, and we were talking about listening to your body. So for excuse me, for people with or without chronic illness, perimenopause, menopause, super important that we build strength in our bodies. For women, after they turn 30, they start to lose between 3 and 8% muscle mass per year. And going into menopause, as the estrogen levels drop, the increased risk of osteoporosis significantly increases. So doing weight-bearing exercises. Now, Pilates is a weight-bearing exercise. Body weight exercises are a weight-bearing exercise. Walking is a weight-bearing exercise. So you don't need to be scared. If the gym is not for you don't need to be scared about going into a gym. You can go and do other things. But you have to be able to put some weight through your bones to make them strong. Also, your diet is vitally important, making sure that you are getting all the nutrients, filling your body with nutritious food, not ultra-processed food, which I've spoken about before as well. A lot of the chemicals in the ultra-processed food leach nutrients out of the blood, out of the muscles, out of the bones. And your body's desperately trying to detox these chemicals out because they're not food. They're a chemical shitstorm that make you addicted to the chemical shitstorm, and then you crave the chemical shitstorm. You need to get real food and plant foods, organic if you can, homegrown even better. If you are having fish or meat, trying to make sure that it's lived as wildly as possible or as free as possible before you consume it. If they're factory farming, pumps the animals full of hormones and steroids and antibiotics to make them grow faster and all these things, and you just get really poor quality meat and your body can't process it. So you want to have things that are pasture raised, organic if you can. It's not so easy to get organic meat, I don't think here it should be, because we grow it, we produce it, but it gets exported elsewhere and as locally sourced as possible. So these things to consider, we think about the fiber sources, getting a minimum of 30 different sources of fiber through the week, including your nuts and seeds, herbs and spices. If you're on the email list, I will send recipes out every week with ideas of recipes you can have, telling you how many fiber points they've got, just to give you examples of how to easily get a broad cross-section of fiber into your diet. Making sure that you get fermented foods into your diet. There's a podcast on that as well previously about trying to get 6 portions or more of fermented foods into your diet. These are all going to nourish your body. These are all going to flood your body with nutrients that you need to help provide a healthier environment, to help you stay as well as possible so that hormones are not going rampant all over the place. Hopefully, your health condition is not keep going into flare and getting out of control, keeping that inflammation to as low as possible. Because we want to stay out of the hospital. We want to stay out of the doctor's office. We want to stay within our communities, within our family, within our friends, being able to live our lives, not just exist. And as women, we need to take back that power. We need to live on our terms rather than on the men's terms. We need to find our voice and say no to the things that we do not want to do, that do not serve us, and say yes to the things that do. If you need any help with exercise, programming, training, coaching, and you're in the Glasgow area, you can reach out to me. My website is iamjenwilson.com. My social media on Instagram is iam.jenwilson. And then on Facebook and YouTube, I am Jen Wilson. And let's get our bodies resilient. Let's get our bodies strong and resilient so we can cope with whatever it is that life is going to throw at us. If you haven't already subscribed or followed me and my podcast, please could you? It tells the providers of these things that the content is valuable and useful. If you know somebody who you think should hear this or needs to hear this, can you please share it with them? Can you please share it on your social medias and tag me? Because that just makes my day when somebody says, oh, I listened to your podcast and I totally love it. Somebody's listening. I feel like I'm just talking to myself because I'm sitting in my studio with a camera at my face, literally talking to myself. So it's lovely to be able to have conversations with people in the real world who have listened, who get benefit from it, who enjoy it. And if you can share that on and help me out, that would be amazing. Right, I am going to go because it is sunny outside and I need to get out for a bit of fresh air and a walk. So if you need anything, you know where I am. Check out the symptom tracker down underneath. Make sure you're following, you're subscribing, you're sharing. And if you haven't listened to the previous podcasts, go back and listen to some of the previous ones. All right, take care, and I will see you on the next show.